have seen how to build a processor, a sequential processor, when we had some simple instructions. And the key design philosophy that we had were the processor that we were building, every instruction was being executed in one cycle. And within that cycle of time period, each instruction was reading some values, either set by the previous cycle or some state. It was computing some new values, and at the end of the cycle, the instruction was writing back the final values in the state. And what inputs are being read, or what outputs eventually the instruction is writing back, was controlled using muxes. So we had seen, we had seen the simple ISA where we had three move instructions, register to register move, instruction to register move, and memory to register move. And in the last class, we also added another move instruction, the last one we had, which is register to memory move. And we saw that if we have an ISA which has all these four instructions and nothing else, how the processor would look like. And the main issue that we were trying to solve was why we are supposed to use muxes when there are conflicting inputs or conflicting outputs coming from each instruction. So this is how we started to teach you how to build this sequential processor, because we think this is more easier way to understand it. But in the book, you will see that the processor is designed based on different stages. And if we try to look at how those stages correspond to our design so far, then it would look like this. So different part of the work that we are doing while we are implementing the instruction, we divide it into different stages or phases. And it's not, the names are not based on how the order or the sequence of the work being done. It's just a conceptual divide of the work. So there is part of the, for each instruction, there is a part where we fetch the instruction, the location where our PC is pointing, and read the instruction from memory. And that stage is called fetch. Then we have this decode, where basically we read the register file. So you can think that the name is not quite exactly matching what it does, but basically in the way we are following the book, decode is the stage where we are reading register values from our register file. Then we have these execute phase stage. Basically it has to do with doing ALU instructions, so when we are adding two operands or XORing them or doing some logical operation. Then we have write back, which is basically we will, once we have computed some value, when we want to write it back to our register file, that's noted by write back. And also for each instruction, we are supposed to adjust the PC, like the next PC that we will use, what would be the location of the next instruction we want to fetch. So that's a PC update. So basically, we have these six stages, fetch, read instruction, memory, once we have the instructions split it, also we want to know what's the length of the instruction so that we could fit the next instruction. Decode, read register file, execute arithmetic operations, but also remember that we need to do some addition for deciding addresses. So when there is MR move or RM move, there is displacement and there is a value in the register that we add to get the address. So that's also done in this execute stage. Memory, basically anything we are doing with data memory. Either we read value from the memory or write. Write back, it corresponds to writing back values in the register file. And PC update is we need to add some specific value to PC to determine the next instruction location. So the thing we want to emphasize is these are conceptual stages, so it doesn't mean that PC update will happen at the end or execute would always happen in the middle. So it's not a sequence of things going on. In the circuit, like most of the things are almost going in parallel other than when we are writing back some values in memory or register, which happens at the leading edge of the clock cycle. So keeping that in mind, let's see that, so suppose these are our stages and we want to, we are trying to execute push Q RAX, which means that we take the value of RAX and push it at the top of the stack. And we want to know that what is the order of the events when the when we are considering the following events. Reading the instruction from instruction memory, the content of memory getting changed, the register RSP getting changed, or the PC getting the next PC value. So given that we have all these sequences, let's try to think about which one would be true. You can think about it, you can look at the slides, you can also talk to your classmates sitting beside you. The hint is, I also talked about it. So think about how the states, our register file, memory, and register work. Wants to volunteer with the answer? No one? Who thinks A is true? No one thinks A is true? Who thinks B is true? Okay, I see some hands up. I guess anyone wants to volunteer, why? No.
two, three, and four are all registers or memory get updated, so that should all happen as a clock tick. So they should all happen at the same time, I think.
Yes, that's correct. So in our processor, we are trying to do some work, and we will try to compute what would be the maybe what's the value of the next register RSP that we want to write back, or we want to calculate what is the next PC that we will use in the next cycle. So that's all being done while within that cycle, but the actual updates, like when the values are written back to memory or register file, that happens at the end of the cycle with the leading, with the rising clock. So that's why we will read the instruction in the beginning of the cycle, but then we will try to compute all these values and set up the inputs correctly. But the values would be written back only when we see the rising edge of the clock. Any question here? Yes.
How can you change the memory? Like, so if you change the memory, which one of, what you have with the stack pointer that you change the memory?
What do we have to do to change the memory?
You have to write to the stack, and then the stack pointer afterwards. So the stack pointer before you write the memory, then you're going to place how many slots in the stack.
So for stack, the location on the top of the stack is at RSP, right? So if we just take the value of RSP at the address and put it as an address in our memory, then the memory reads the value at that position. So it gives us whatever is there at the top of the stack. Does that answer your question or no?
Well, when we're writing memory, when we're pushing to the stack, don't you write to wherever the stack pointers, like maybe wherever the stack pointers want it?
RSP minus 8, yeah, that's the location we want to write, yes.
But
how can we be changing RSP and changing memory at address RSP at the same time?
So the change of RSP, that still happens when we actually doing the work within the cycle, right? So first we need to calculate the new RSP, which is RSP minus 8, right? And then we have to take that value and point it to, like, give it as an address to memory. And all this will happen still while the cycle is going on. But the actual change, the change is we want to update the value where we are supposed to write the value of RAX to the stack, which is the memory location RSP minus 8. So the address would be RSP minus 8 and the value would be RAX. I'm simply not sure if I'm understanding the question. Yes.
I think what I'm trying to ask is, why does 3 happen after 2?
3 happens after 2. No, so they happen at the same time. So what we are asking is when, so you may try to calculate what's the location of your stack, but what you want to update, that will happen at the end of the cycle. So for push, what you want to do is you want to write back some value in the memory, and you also want to update the register file, the value of RSP. Those two, the updates, when the new value is written back to register file and memory, that will happen when the cycle ends. But the computation is you want to know what's the new value of RSP. That's being done while we are still trying to do the work. So, so I guess the misconception is when the values are getting written in our register file versus when they're computed. So in a C file, when we say that PC is equal to PC plus, for example, 1, you kind of assume that that value has been written to, the new value has been written to PC, right? But here there is a distinction between how the values, when the values are computed and when they're written back. So we calculate PC plus 1, but that doesn't get written back to the PC unless we get to the end of the cycle. So that's why we will calculate what is the new value of RSP. We will calculate what's the new value of PC. For memory, we have to know what's the value of RAX and what's the address. These all we will compute during the cycle, but the actual update that when those values are written back to memory and register, that will take place only when we see the leading edge of the clock. Still confused? Okay. Yes. It takes some time, yeah, some portion of the clock cycle to do that.
But it's not like a full clock cycle?
Usually it's not a full clock cycle, yes. So the two computation, one is RSP minus 8, and what is the other one? Yes. So basically, remember that we actually have two different types of ALUs to do those things. So this one, the ALU in the execute unit, will do the PC minus the RSP minus 8. And here, though we didn't exactly show that there is an ALU, like even in your assignments, you will not use it, but there is some logic which just adds stuff. So these two are mostly happening in parallel. But that's kind of computing the new values. When we compute the values, it will come here, the new PC will come here, and it won't get written back immediately. It will get written back only when we actually get to the end of the cycle. Any more questions? Okay. So now we will try to see how those stages correspond to each instruction. And we will use the terminology that we have in our textbook. And basically, you will see that not every instruction does some work at each stage. So for example, if we take NOP, so NOP, remember what it does? It basically doesn't do anything. Like only thing it happens during this instruction is we calculate what's the next PC, which is basically we add the length of the instruction to the PC, and that's the new value that we write back into the register. So here in the fetch stage, what happens is we read the instruction, which is located at instruction memory, and the address is PC. And here, by M1 PC, this notation means that we are reading one byte at the address PC from our instruction memory. And this one is here because knob, the length of knob is just one byte. And we are assigning those, that one byte, to this I-code and I-found. Basically, this is the opcode. The first byte, we will take the 4 bits, the upper 4 bits of our instruction and put it in I-code. And the next 4 bits would go to I-function. And this is because we had, for some instruction, for example, conditional jump, the next 4 bits usually say that what kind of jump. So that's why we have these two things, I code and I found. And basically it just means that we are taking the values and giving it names, I code and I found. So I guess I already talked about it. So this is just a where, because once we read the value from the instruction memory, now it's in the where, and we are naming the where as I could. And after that, after we have read back the value of PC, we increment the PC plus one and assign it to another where, which is called val p. And this val p is the new value that we have computed for PC. And this, in this PC update stage, this means that that where is now getting connected to the input of our PC register. So basically, this terminology means that we are taking that where and connecting to the PC. So the incremented value of PC is now assigned to our the input of our PC register. Any question here? Now let's add another instruction to and see what are the stages for that. And the instruction here is jump. And the format of jump is there is an opcode, and after that we have 8 bytes of destination, like what's the address that we want to jump. And here you can see that again the first byte that we have read from memory, that's the opcode, and in our notation the opcode has 2 parts, so that's why we have I-code and I-fun. But then, I guess, we have these, we are reading the next 8 bytes, and the PC plus one denotes that it's not the first byte, it's the bytes after the first byte, and we will read 8 bytes from that memory position and assign it the name val z. And the PC, the new PC, is supposed to be this val c. And this is one of the benefits of having this stage, because now you can see that at PC update stage, two instructions takes 2 different inputs. Here the PC is supposed to take the value val p, here val c. And if you just look at the stages and for all the instruction and find conflicting ones, that means that in this stage you're supposed to use a mux to decide what instruction should use which value. So that's why, because we have these 2 conflicting values for PC, it means that before the PC register, we have to have a mux which says that for NOP, the input should come from val c, which is PC plus, for NOP, the input value should come from val p, which is PC plus one, and for jump, it should be val C, which is the destination of the jump. Any question? So then, in the book, we actually have the stages for all the instructions, most of the instructions. And you can see that it becomes more complex when we get to these memory instructions. So here we have register to memory move and memory to register move. I guess the fetch is kind of the same. Let's see what's different in decode. So we said that in decode, what we do is we read the register file. And in order to read the register file, we need the number of the register we want to read. And we also need to know that once we read the value, there is an output and what we should name that where. And basically here, by saying that, okay, remember, register to memory move basically takes the value of register RA, and here this assignment means that we are taking the number, the input number to register is RA, and we will read it from the register file, and with whatever output we have, we will name it val A. And for memory to register move, there is no operation going on in this stage. So basically that will mean that when we are trying to design the processor and you look at the what are all the things you need to do during the decode stage, you have to do something for register to memory move, but for memory to register move, you actually don't have to do anything. But then you may have to think about, okay, if I don't want to do anything, if I don't want to read anything from the register file, am I supposed to set the register input values to something? And in our case, we always use F to say that we don't read anything. But sometimes it's okay not to set anything if we don't use the value we have read. So that's like a design choice that we will make. Another new thing here is for register to memory move, at the memory stage, we write back the register value RA to the memory location that we have computed by adding the displacement and value of RB. So here, this assignment means that in the memory, we are setting up the memory with address and input, and the address is coming from val E, which is the displacement, the addition of the displacement and our register file, so this is this. And we are also setting up the value that we want to write, and which is coming from register A. So we read it from register A, assign it the name val A, so this is why we have val A here. Any question? Okay, so for the memory stage, for the memory to register move, so this was basically we were writing something to memory, but here we are actually reading something from memory. And the assignment is kind of, it's taking the similar format. Basically it means that once we have read the value from memory where the address is val E, the output where we will name it as val M. Any question here? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
The value of RA. So that's basically is within our instruction. So when I say that, okay, let's see, for register to memory move, it said in the instruction format, it had one opcode, then it had a place for RA, 4 bits. And there is supposed to be some number in our instruction which will say that what is the number of the register. And we had, we have 16 registers, I guess 15 registers in our ISA. So we could have 0 to 14, which will denote RA, RB, RC, etc. And we also had this special thing, 15, which says that basically don't write anything. So this RA is actually coming from our instruction. I guess. We had it here. So basically, once we read the instruction, we take those 4 bits, which denotes RA, and we say that, okay, we will use this as our register input. And here the output is R source A. And this was the notation we were using because it's easier to understand. But when we go to our book, the notations are kind of different. So here we are saying that this is val A instead of what we were saying that R register A. Where we extract?
Yeah, like where is the extraction from the fetch stage?
In the fetch stage, we read it from our instruction. Yes, that's it. And this one, so this is memory to register move. So basically we are writing the register, we are writing back the value in our register RA. So that's why this assignment means that set the register file with input where M, which is the register number. Any question? Okay, so this was our move CPU, and we had kind of different names. But if we try to map whatever name we are or terminology we are using for our in our book, basically, these are the places where we change things. So the, okay, I guess we are talking about these val A and val B, which is basically whatever we have read from our register file. So this where is val A, which is value of register A. This is val B, value of register B. And here, this where we call it val E, basically the value we have computed after the execution stage. So that's val execute. This is val M, which is basically whatever value we have read from memory. So this is the where val M, and we usually, this is the value we are writing back to our register file. And the new PC that we want to update, that's called valp. And there is this immediate value that we were reading. For example, for IR move Q, there was this immediate value we were writing from the instruction. Now this is called valc. Any question? So remember that we actually were always setting up some muxes to decide which values to input for different stages. And that's why we have all these extra wires where depending on the opcode, we decide if I want to increment the PC by 2 or by 9 or by 10. And there are actual physical wire which decides all these things. But in our stages here. We haven't actually shown them. And this is basically, we are just assuming that these are the things we have to do, but most of the times we will not show it. Most of the times we are kind of concerned with how the values transform from one stage to another, and the values that we set up through the maxes, these mostly we won't show. This is just assume that you need to set this up. And the values that decide which values are transferred through the maxes. So that's the path, we call it control path. And in okay. No, I thought you wanted this. But the other things where we are actually reading the data, doing something with it, transferring it to some other register file or memory, that's where the data is flowing through with different states. So that is called a data path. So mostly we will show the data path where the signals are carrying actual data. Control path is what decides which marks should transfer which values. There are some fuzzy lines based on conditional codes, like you're supposed to set the conditional codes based on arithmetic and logical operations, and it's not clear if it's control or data, but just remember that this is something in between. So to make the figures readable, we will mostly ignore the control path, but remember that there has to be some wares going from different maxes that decides which value to transfer. Okay, if there is, let's see, is there any question? So now we want to go through all the stages and try to see that when we are trying to design the processor, what are the things we should do at each stage. So this will make your assignment easier, because suppose you're trying to design the fetch stage, then you don't need to think about what's happening in other stages. You will just implement the portion that gets affected by this stage. So instruction fetch stage, what we do is we read instructions from the memory and the address is PC. So what we do is once we have read the PC value and we have used it as an address to our instruction memory, got the instruction, we split that instruction into different wires. So there's the opcode, which goes to iCode and iFUL. We take the register numbers, which goes to RA, RB. And also, sometimes we have these immediate values. For example, IR move. Sometimes we have a call, where we are supposed to jump to some location. So that's the immediate value that we will name as valC. And we also want to compute what's the address of the next instruction, and that would be based on the length of the instruction we are trying to design. So if we are just concerned with instruction fetch, this is how it will look like. We read memory using the PC, and when we read, we have the instruction. And we split it into iCode, iFUN, which basically will be used as the control path. But then we have RA, RB that is supposed to go to the register file, and there is this immediate valC. And remember that we are supposed to determine what's the next PC, that we will use the instruction length to add to the PC, and we name the output wire as well. Any question here? Okay. So next stage is the code where we will read the value from the register file. And for a register file, there are inputs and outputs. Two inputs that we will use is the number of register values, which are coming from this, I guess this is the, so this RA and RB, they will have the number of register. And val A and val B is what we will call the output, that whatever value we have read from the register. Okay. So that's why we connect the RA and RB to source A and source B, and here we will have the output. So basically this should work for many instructions, for example add or XOR, sometimes even move instructions where we will take, I guess that's kind of different, but most of the instructions, the operands that we are trying to read from register file will come from RA and RB. But then you have to think about what are the instructions that doesn't follow this format. So think about these five instructions and try to decide that is this wiring correct or do we need to do something else for this. So for example, NOP, we know that it doesn't do anything. So in this case, I guess we actually, it's fine, like unless we take the output and do something, it's okay to read the values. For add, the inputs are RA and RB, so we are fine. For memory to register, do you think it's correct? Like, should we have RA and RB here? Also think about pop, push pop, or call and return. So there we are exactly not taking two register and doing something, right? Because for call, we are supposed to jump somewhere. For push and pop, what we want to do is read the value of RSP or do something with RSP. So these are all exceptional case that we actually have to handle. So in order to determine where are things quite not matching, we could actually use these, we can go through the all instruction and try to see that what happens with source A and source B with every instruction. So you can see that these are the ones that have some different behavior. So for jump, call, stop, they actually don't use anything for from the register. For move instruction, they use only one register, RA, because then we will use the displacement to calculate the value. So the RR move, memory to register move, is kind of different than push, pop, call, return, they operate on RSP. So basically, we actually have to have a mux and decide what should be the input to our register file. And you can see that we have three different types of things from this chart. Either the for the second value, source B, either the input comes from RB, or it comes from RSP, and sometimes there is no value, which is usually we could just use if to say that we don't want to read. But it's not exactly necessary to always use the if, because as long as we don't use that value, it's fine. Use the output, it's fine. So we could ignore it. And basically here, you can see that we need a mask before source B to say that most of the times the input will come from RB, but there are these exceptional cases, for example, push pop, call return, that we are supposed to use RSP as our input. Any question here? No? Okay. I would go to the next stage unless there is a question. Okay. So the next stage is execute. And remember the design philosophy that we have. First, we will decide the input and output for our ALU for most common instructions. And then we will try to think about what are the different behavior we have for other instructions. So execute basically does some arithmetic and logical operation in our ALU. So basically, we have to do the operation and we will have an output. And most of the time, the output is val e, the ALU output. And the inputs are mostly coming from our register files. But you actually may have to set up the condition codes here. So till now, we didn't actually look at how to do it. But this is the stage where we are supposed to set up the condition code based on what happens with AND, subtraction, XOR, and AND. And if we have to do something based on the prior set condition code, this is where we would do stuff. So basically, this is kind of a high-level overview of how you are supposed to deal with condition codes. Basically, it means that you have to look at all the options we have in our conditional code. So it could be, remember that there was this RR move, which meant that don't look at the condition code. So there was one which says that always do the performance. Operation, then you have to come up with logics that says what should you do when we have less than or equal, less than, greater than, and etc. And we will have a mux and decide based on the condition code what is the value we want to transfer. So here, if it's a non-conditional instruction, that means that we want to transfer one. The mux will select this one, output it, and based on what's the operation you want to do, you have to select appropriate value in your mux. So here we are trying to select what's the number of the register for writing back values in the register file, and when it's always one means unconditional, usually we want RB, which is at zero. So that's why we have a not. Any question here? Okay. So basically, this is how the execute stage would look like. In most of the cases, the inputs are coming from our register file, so we connect val A and val B with our register file. And there is this condition code, this opcode that will decide what kind of operation we want to do. But then we have to be careful about what happens with val E. So, this is most of the cases, the general case that we will have for execute instruction. But again, we need to think about what are the instruction where we are supposed to do something different. And again, think about what are among these instructions, which one you think is kind of different. And any answer? No. So there are some exceptions. For example, when we are doing the memory operations, memory to register move or register to memory move, we actually don't add values from two register. One value comes from the register, but the other value is the displacement which comes from the instruction. So that's something we have to take care using amux. Then there is these push, pop, and call return instructions, where we are actually taking the register RSP and adding or subtracting 8 to go either push or pop values from the stack. So that's also special cases that we need to handle. So that means that when we are taking the input to our ALU, sometimes it will come from our instruction, which is the immediate value. And sometimes we actually have to add 8 to increment or decrement our register pointer, our stack pointer. But then, I guess, after we have the value, here, after we have the output, then we need to decide what are the things we will do in our memory stage. And for memory, what is the operation we do? We read from the memory or write from the memory, and we either provide the address to read, or we provide the address and the value to write. So here, most of the time, whatever value we want to write back or we want to write in memory comes from these ALU. And we also have to provide the data that we want to write that comes from the register file. But is this the all we do? Like, what would be the exceptional cases? So again, definitely we have some exceptional cases. And first, you need to think about what happens for the address. So the here for address, mostly we say that it's coming from the output of the ALU. So this is true for most of the cases, but there are these tricky cases when we are doing pop or return. So with pop, what we are doing is we are actually we have to take the RSP, the stack pointer, and use it as our address. So here, only when we use the address, it is only coming from our arithmetic unit. But for pop, we have to make sure that there is another way to put RSP here. Then for data, mostly it's coming from our source register A, but the tricky cases are call and push. So for call, what we do is we want to write what is our, so in the stack, we want to push the PC of our next instruction before we jump to some the destination. So here, the data has to be the PC of the next instruction. For push, we are trying to write a value to RSP minus 8. So that's also, it's a special case that we have to take care of. So that means that here, when we are trying to input the data and address, we have to have marks. For data, sometimes for the call instruction, the input could be the next instruction, which is located at PC+9. So that's why we need to have a marks. And for data, sometimes it will come from the arithmetic unit, but sometimes it will come from the RSP, where basically we read the value of RSP at RB, and we have to connect it here. Any question? Yes. The values, like the input values or the control signal for the marks? The control signals. The control signals will come from the opcode, which basically we are not showing. But for example, here, sometimes we will use PC+9, basically not sometimes, when we have a call instruction, we will use PC+9. So we actually have to take the opcode here, have some logic here which says that select the zero input when the opcode of call is in our instruction. For other cases, we have to say that, okay, in those are not the special cases, so select one. So these are not the things we are showing, but remember that for every marks, there is a control signal. Any more questions? Okay. So the next stage is write back, where we are writing some value in our register file. And remember that it has, for our register file there, we could actually have two register number to write, and we also have two values that should go with that register numbers. So here we have dist M and dist E, which says that what registers we want to write, and we have these next R destination M and next R destination E, where we are, our values would go up. So this is address, this is value. And most of the times, the register number would come from our instruction. And here for two data inputs, it either comes from the memory, so that's why it's called destination memory. So this is the output of memory, and we connect it here. And sometimes we calculate some arithmetic operation, and that is what we are trying to write back. For example, for add or XOR. So these are the common cases. But then we have to think about the special cases. And let's see what could be the special cases. So I guess these are the first special case we have to think about is pop. When we are popping something, we have to, what we are doing is we are taking the value of RSP and using it as our input to memory, reading the value of RSP. But at the same time, we actually have to update the value of RSP and also write it back. So pop will read something from the top stack and write to whatever register you specify. And also, we have another register write that we have to update the RSP itself. So basically, it needs two inputs for number of registers. And also, it will have two different values that we want to write. So that's why sometimes we have to, so when we are trying to set up destination AE, so this one, we have to make sure that sometimes it is read from RSP. And there are cases we don't want to write back anything, so those are the cases we actually have to use if. So you can see that here, when we are trying to set up this destination E, now we have three inputs, and any of them could be used for different instruction. Most of the time, it's RB, which comes from the instruction. Sometimes it's F, sometimes it's the stack pointer. But then you also have to update the exact value you want to write back. And similar to this, this is also, we have three options there. So the first option is for regular instructions where the value is coming from our ALU. So this is for add or XOR and stuff. Then sometimes we are actually writing back our immediate value. So for example, immediate to register move. So that's why we have this where coming here. So the immediate value comes from the instruction, and this, we have a mux to select that. And there are cases where we actually just, when we are moving between memory to register, register to memory, then we are reading the register value and trying to write it back. I guess that's for register to register move. So now we have three options and we need a mux to decide that. So that's destination E and the value of destination E. But then you actually have to be careful about what value you use for your, yes?
Yes, these are two alternatives.
Yeah, oh, okay, yes. I guess I mixed things up. So this is what we have seen when we have designed our instruction, our move instructions. Basically, either when we are trying to move register value to register, we use the source A and we just connect it in the mux. But in our book, actually, this is not the design they have chosen. What they do is sometimes instead of using this extra input to our mux, they just say that, okay, we just want to have two input. Where is this? Okay. We just want to have two input in our mux. We don't want to use three inputs. So that's why they do, what they do is they say that we will read the register value from register B, and we will do a dummy operation to our ALU. So that basically, if we add zero to our register value, that basically means that the register value is still the same. So that's where we will always take the output of ALU and send it to our register destination E.
And as I mentioned last time, we don't care what you do on assignments.
Yes. So in your assignments, you're free to do whichever you want. You could use this one, where you have a mux before, three input mux before destination E, or you can go with the book where we actually pass this value to ALU and add zero, yes.
I assume that the reason why they want to keep the inputs to the mux to two is because otherwise it would need like bigger binary numbers.
So that's a design decision they made. So the trade-off is either bigger mux or some extra ALU operation. And usually none of the okay, so the area of mux is not that high. At the same time, ALU operation doesn't take that much, so it's mostly a design decision.
Okay.
do you want to add something to you? Any more questions? Okay. So the last stage is PC update, where we are supposed to decide what is the PC that we want to use in our next cycle. And this is basically we are incrementing the PC by instruction length. That's the common case. But then we have to think about what are the special cases. The special cases are call, jump, and return. So this is the common case where basically we take the PC, the current PC, use the instruction length, and calculate the next PC. Then we actually have to add the words we needed for specific cases. So I guess, did I miss some?
No.
No, okay, okay. So yeah, I guess here we have. So we have to, so one of the common case value is val p, which is coming from PC plus something. But then we have to decide that what happens when we have these specific cases call, jump, and return. So for jump, what we are doing is we are taking the destination, which comes from the instruction, and we are using that as our next PC. So that's why this there is one input, which is coming from our immediate. Then for call, what we have to do is we have to take that, where is this? The immediate after the call, the value that we read from that and use that as our, so that's also comes from immediate, that's right, yes. But here, for return, it's kind of a specific case that we actually go to the, we have to go to the stack to determine where we want to return. So we have to take RSP, do some operation to find where is our, I guess we'll just take RSP as our top of our stack and get the value from our stack pointer. So that's why we have these hardware coming from our memory. So basically for the PC object stage, we have three options. So this is the common option. This is the option coming from instruction for immediate values. So it's jump and call. And for return, we actually have to read the stack pointer. So that's why it's coming from memory. Any question here? So let's do some exercises now. So this is how it will, I guess, before we do the exercise. Mostly this is the whole circuit for our sequential processor would mostly look like this. Obviously we ignored the control paths, but the data path is there. And you can see that it looks kind of pretty complex. And you actually have to be careful about which blocks you set for specific instructions to make sure that correct input is always there for the instruction that you're using. So for example, let's do this exercise for add queue. And let's assume that the register values we are trying to add are at R8 and R9. And we have to decide how to set up the boxes appropriately. So let me give you some hints, I guess. So for PC, you can see that we have, as I said, we have three options for PC, right? That's the last one we talked about. So either the PC would come from valp, where we incremented by the instruction length, either it comes from the instruction for jump and call, and for return, it comes from our memory. So that's the stack, top of the stack value. And for add, we know that our correct PC update is PC length plus PC plus instruction length. So this is our correct one. And so between these three inputs that we have, we actually have to select this one, the one in the last one. Then let's try to look at destination M and destination E. So here, for both of them, we have three options. So either, let's start with destination M. So either the value would come, the register, we are trying to read something from the register file, and we are trying to see what is the register number we want to input. So we have three options here. The input could be the value RA coming from our instruction. Sometimes we will say that we don't want to read anything, write anything. And sometimes it will be shouldn't it be RSP?
No.
Okay. I guess let's for destination E, the third value is RSP, which is when we are trying to write back the register the stack pointer. But at least for ADQ, we know that none of these the second and third options are valid, because here what we have to do is we take the values of R8 and R9 and we are writing back to R9. So for destination, we actually have to select, we want to write at R9, and for destination M, which says memory, we have to say that we don't want to, like nothing is coming out from memory, so that one we don't want to select. So basically that's what we say, that destination E, we want to select R9, and for destination M, which basically says that are we writing anything which is which will come from memory, we are saying that no, just make it F. The next, I guess, is here. So we also have to determine the MUX input for ALU input in our execute stage. And this one, for add, it's kind of simple that this is a common case. We know that the values are coming from our register file. So here we will select the R8 and R9. And remember that for add instruction, we actually also have to set the ifunc to decide that we actually want to do add. And this is what you actually have to do for every instruction. Any question here? Yes?
What about the other responses regarding the data?
So for data, it's actually a bit simpler. You remember that you have we have this write enable, read enable. So once you actually have to set up them, but you have to say that don't write anything in memory. So write enable is disabled, and read, I guess we are not also reading anything. So that's why it's not quite critical that you set it up, but just to in your assignment, if you set it up, that's fine also. But you have to make sure that you don't write anything here. No question? Okay, I guess we will see you next week.
Thank you.
Thank you.